Hey, it's Jacob Goldstein from Business History. In our new series, American Genius, we tell the stories of three great writers who changed the way business works in America. Our first episode is about Benjamin Franklin, who, among many other things, was a best-selling business writer. Take a listen.
He's writing this much later in his life, consciously creating this image of himself. And I do want to emphasize how unusual this model is at the time, this self-made man myth, because you don't want to be self-made. It's low class to be self-made. You know, this idea that we have today is the opposite, right? And it comes from Franklin. Today, there is the derisive term nepo baby.
Well, exactly right. And these days, if you are a billionaire, you had better have a Benjamin Franklin story about starting in a garage, coming up with the idea from nothing.
And here is Benjamin Franklin inventing it right before our eyes.
This has been brought to you by Odoo. To listen to more of our American Genius series, listen to Business History. New episodes release every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20-volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Bruce Halliday about who's coming through.
You know, you got to put all of these pieces together. I always believe that, you know, where they come from, and if they're sending the communication, you know, people would say to me, well, it's possible that they're communicating from whatever planet they're on.
Sure.
They're sending communication from whatever planet they're on. So now, say they're in the Kepler system. That's 11 light years. That's 11 years traveling at the speed of light. Mm-hmm. Now, to travel at the speed of sound would be a fraction of the speed of light. It would take thousands of years for an audio signal or frequency to travel from their planet to ours, let alone from back and forth. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it would take, you know, for me to ask the question, it would take thousands of years, our time, to travel to wherever they are, for them to receive it, and then it would take thousands of years for them to answer, for us to receive an answer back.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be millennia to ask one question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So evidently they can't be communicating from whatever planet they're on 11 light years away from Earth. They would have to be either on our planet or in proximity, like in orbit or on the moon or on one of our planets in our solar system or whatever, to be communicating mechanically,
or they have some other way of doing it that we're unaware of.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But now you think of it this way: if it is an extraterrestrial, they did travel 11 light years to get here. They are a superior, technologically and intelligent race. Why would they be communicating with Bruce Halliday through a ghost box?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why not make your presence known to, unless, I mean, I'm sure they, if it does exist, they do exist, I'm sure the government knows about them, and I'm sure the government has a line of communication with them. But, I mean, why would you communicate with, why not communicate with say, Dan Rather on ABC News? You know what I mean? Or Phil Donahue, or, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody that's going to be able to get you, you know, some big person that's going to be able to get your message out there.
Sure.
And it's going to make people aware that you're communicating, you know?
Yeah.
And why communicate in such a rudimentary manner? Why not communicate, you know, why don't you communicate information that's going to be beneficial to either yourself or to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you communicate silly things, like silly answers and stuff that's, you know, that's irrelevant, that doesn't really mean anything. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
So,
although I have to say, I think communicating with Phil Donahue at this point, probably not that exciting.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Yeah. I have to agree.
Yeah, I think it would go very far.
That's the ground. I mean, that's the basics of what, you know, what we're doing. And,
sure.
You know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. You have to make sure that, you know, that you weigh all variables, not just, you know, you don't take anything at face value. You have to weigh all the variables. You have to accumulate data. You can't make an assumption, an insinuation, or formulate any type of theory or hypothesis on a one or two time thing. It has to be continued research. You have to have gathered data.
Sure.
You have to have data that supports itself. You know, the same experiment, the same line of questioning, the same line of answers, the same conditions, you know, over and over, in order to gather, to formulate any kind of stable theory or hypothesis. You know, I mean, as far as spirits, communicating with spirits, that's a given. I mean, ironclad. That's 100,000.
And let's talk about that a little bit. Communicating with the spirits that are, you have kind of two categories here. Some that are earthbound, and some that are out there in the spirit world. Now, earthbound meaning they're here. They're kind of hanging out, and they're using this as basically a voice to communicate through the box.
Right.
When we're talking about something that's out there more in the spirit world, that's something that's more like, they could be anywhere, and you're kind of trying to communicate with them by, you know, asking, can I talk to so-and-so, but they're not necessarily haunting your house.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, you got different types of communication. You can have, like you said, you have communication from earthbound entities. That's a disembodied spirit of a human being that once lived in the physical that is still occupying space in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't crossed over to the spiritual world, hasn't moved on, whatever you want to call it. You also have spirits that are stuck or locked here. You have spirits that could be in visitation, that could have crossed to the spirit world, but come back to the physical world in visitation. Then you have entities that are nomadic, that travel from one place to another, spirits that travel. That go from, they're not bound to one specific location.
Mm-hmm.
They can go from one location to another, wherever they want to go. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So each type of communication comes with different variables. And, you know, you'll get the type of communication you get from an earthbound entity is different than the type of communication you'll receive from an entity that's communicating from the spiritual world on the other side. The energy is different. The frequencies are different. The type of communication is different.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're communicating with something that is earthbound versus something that is more out there, define that for me a little bit. How do you tell the difference in communication? Because in one aspect of it, we're talking about something or talking to something that's not here, you know, physically with us in our plane of existence, but, you know, is essentially, you know, ghostly, supernatural or whatnot. What is the difference in terms of what you're getting from one versus the other?
Okay, there's a dependency on experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an experienced ITC operator, if you've done live spirit communication for a while, you have some experience and you really know what you're doing, you can determine the difference between ethereal and earthbound communication. It sounds different.
Okay.
It comes in on a different energy wavelength, a different frequency. It has different tonal values. It has different different volume, like it has a different indication of strength when it comes through. It just sounds different, you know what I mean? And you'd have to have experience to know that, you know, to pick that up during a live session. Like if you have somebody that just turns a box on occasionally, or they're brand new to ghost box communication, or actually whatever device they're using, they'd be hard pressed to determine the difference unless they ask. I mean, you actually, once you have an inclination that there is, you know, the spirit you're speaking to may be earthbound, mm-hmm. or may be in visitation or proximity to the ghost box, you would ask. You know, the first thing you would do is ask the entity that I'm communicating with, are you with me here in this room? Are you with me? Are you near this ghost box? Are you in the physical world? And you'll most times get an answer to that. They'll let you know that they're earthbound. They'll let you know that they're in proximity to your location. You know, and when you get communication from an ethereal being that's in the spirit world, the communication that's coming through an energy link, mm-hmm. from the spirit world to the ghost box, it's so hard to put into words. You know, I mean, you would have to hear it. You know, if I could put together two audible pieces of communication that was definitively from an earthbound in the physical world and from an ethereal being in the spirit world and played it for you, mm-hmm. I'd be able to point out the differences, and you'd go, oh yeah, okay, you know. But it's hard to put into words. It's more ethereal. The communication from the spirit world is more, it's not as definitive, mm-hmm. as some communication you would get here in the physical, like if the entity was here in the physical world, mm-hmm. it's because they're not an entity that's stuck here or in visitation here, or any entity that's occupying physical space here in the physical world is not bound by the constrictions of the rules in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. So they can pretty much say or get away with whatever they want to do,
yeah.
here, you know. And on the other side, it's they have to adhere to whatever regulations are set down for a communication, for what communication they can send, how they can send it, or what type of information they can send, you know. So the communication differs. A lot of the negative communication that you get, I'm not going to say demonic or evil, because it doesn't necessarily have to be that. There's a possibility it could be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could just be a disgruntled entity or somebody in a bad mood, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, you get a lot. You get cursing. You get threats. You know, I mean, it's yelling, screaming. You know, stuff like that. Any aggressive or negative communication is usually earthbound communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because 9 times out of 10. Any entity that's in that energy state, that negative energy state, will be stopped by the technician before they come through. Mm-hmm. So you know, you can pretty much determine that the negative stuff is coming from an earthbound.
Okay.
And I mean, there's a lot of different ways, but most of all, it's just you're being aware because of experience.
Sure.
Because you've been able to determine through your experience the difference in the two.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this. When you've been communicating with entities through the ghost box, have you ever had anything ask for help? Anything that wanted...
Every single time. Every single session.
How do you handle that? I mean, give me some examples of what they ask for and what you're actually capable of doing.
Most of the time, you'll just hear cries for help. You know, help, help me. Can you help me? I need help. Please help me. You know, these are entities more or less that are either lost, confused, have just crossed over and have no idea that they're dead, have no idea where they are or what to do. And it's just that they come, a lot of it comes from confused entities, mostly newly crossed over spirits that are not accustomed. A lot of them don't even realize that they passed. Mm-hmm. They don't realize where they are. They just hear a voice in the darkness and they respond to it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So there is a way to do what I call a crossover session. Mm-hmm. There is a way to help those entities determine where they're supposed to go, or to help them acknowledge that they have passed, that they are a spirit, and that they need to move on.
Sure.
And a crossover session, definitely you have to work with the technician in a crossover session. That you have to work in tandem with your technician in order to guide that spirit to the specific place where it's supposed to go. And a lot of times it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you're not able to cross them because they have to be aware of what you're trying to do. They have to accept the realization that they need to cross over to the spirit world, that they need to leave this physical world. The attachments that they have here, it could be entities that stay attached to their physical body because that's the only familiar thing to them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people ask me, how come I get better communication when I go to a cemetery? Mm-hmm. You know? And there's a basic reason for that. When you pass away, of course you're going to be disoriented, confused. Your spirit is going to be disoriented, confused. You're not going to automatically know everything there is to know about being in spirit form.
Sure.
So the thing that comforts you the most, the thing that you're most familiar with and closest to, would be your physical body, would be your physical remains.
Sure.
And a lot of spirits immediately attach themselves to their physical remains. They'll go to their own funeral. They'll go to their own wake. They'll invariably follow their physical remains to the cemetery and then stay in proximity to those physical remains after they're buried in the cemetery. And that's because that's the only thing that's familiar to them, the only thing that they can identify with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they, you know, eventually they'll detach themselves and cross over. Eventually all entities cross over unless there's an evil, you know, an evil or demonic or negative entity that stays, you know, purposely stays in the physical world just to create havoc and you know, do whatever evil misdeeds or whatever, you know, sneaky things they can possibly do in the physical world. They can stay here willingly, mm-hmm. you know, but most entities that cry out for help are entities that are looking for help. They're looking to be helped to know what to do, where to go, how to cross over. You know, what am I supposed to do? It's like a child lost in a department store. They stand in one place and they cry.
What's interesting about it is asking the living, how do I cross over? Why would they think that we know how to do that, considering we haven't been there?
Well, that's a good question, but as far as I can gather on that point is that for some reason, the connection that we make through the energy of the box reaches them. Like they don't reach out to any other entities. Like as far as I can tell, a spirit that's asking for help that hasn't crossed over, mm-hmm. that's lost and confused, is an entity that doesn't have any other spiritual entities around them. They're alone. They're in a strange place. They don't know what to do. They don't know who they are, where they are. And for some reason, when the connection is made through the ghost box to the spirit realm, it reaches, at some point, reaches these individual spirits. And that's the only connection. That's the only thing that they see that's, let's say, physically tangible to them. So because they hear your voice and they hear your communication coming through the box, they immediately cry out for help. It's like hearing a voice in the dark. It would be like being lost in the woods. And then, you know, suddenly you hear somebody yelling out in the distance. You know what I mean? The first thing you're going to do is cry for help. Somebody help me. I'm lost.
Okay.
You know? So, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, through my experience from years and years of doing it, that, you know, I mean, I've done tons of crossover sessions. A lot of them successful, some of them not successful. You know, I mean, I've done sessions, crossover sessions where, you know, the entity was completely distraught, completely lost. And between myself and the technician, we were able to get that spirit to cross and get verbal confirmation from the technician that, yes, that entity did cross, was on the other side with them, and everything would be fine, you know? Mm-hmm. And even have the entity thank you after,
yeah,
you know? And, you know, sometimes you'll do a crossover, you'll attempt a crossover session, and the entity just won't accept what you're trying to do, or won't accept the fact that it has to leave, won't accept the fact that it has to move on from the physical world, and won't accept the fact that wherever you're trying to lead it to is a good place for it to go. Mm-hmm. So the entity actually has to be in the frame of mind to accept your help.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Bruce Halliday. A big thank you to him for joining us. And thank you for being a supporter of our program and helping to keep us on the air. We could not do this without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.